Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we have a fun episode for you guys today. Kat and I are in a pretty loopy mood, so just know that going into it. We're talking about sweet treats today.
And Kat and I, we are.
Yeah, we're all about the sweets. We have a lot of good ideas that we just want to share with people because it is a very common topic. You know, people feel like they might need help kind of managing sugar cravings. And so we want to first kind of normalize that today. It is A-okay to have sugar cravings. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite ways to feel satisfied when that happens. Before we get into that, our standard opening, right? We often are cheersing at the beginning. So Kat, what do you have next to you today? What's your beverage of choice?
Sorry, moving around there for a minute. You're trying to grab the bottle here. I am drinking a white wine yet again. I'm full of surprises, you guys. This one is called Secreto, and it's a Chilean wine from 2018. And the label is so fun, and I so wish I could share it with you because it's an orange and red man covering his mouth. I don't know. The label's so fun. It sounds creepy.
Like a troll or like orange and red?
It's a hand drawn. It looks like a child. Which that's probably.
I told you. Pretty loopy.
Oh my God. It's just like it's art. Honestly, that's
it seems lovely.
Yeah, it's great. It tastes delicious.
What type did you say it was?
It's a white wine blend. So it's like there's like three different blends.
Very nice. Well, since you are on the other side of the world as I am, it's like getting warmer for you guys, right? Yeah. Whereas we're getting colder. So as I start to drink more red wine, Kat, you know, is moving towards the summer waters, the rosés and the whites and all that good stuff.
Although I hardly ever participate in that shift. I'm just really, you know, I'm red all year.
All about it.
Oh no. I drink
a lot of rosé in the summer.
I love rosé and I like white wine, but it's more like a, oh, the bottle's there kind of a situation. Or like, we're going to start with a rosé, but like we always end on the red.
That's true. It's a good ending note.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, I have no wine in the household at the moment.
What a crime.
Tragedy. Right.
What a crime. You should be persecuted. So
I had to improvise and I'm drinking Campari soda. with a twist, with a little orange twist.
You guys, and I said that she was 60 years old or 80 years old. This is proof.
So I had this the other day. Again, we're out of wine and I poured it and Jeff, my fiance Jeff was like, what are you drinking? And I said, Campari soda, like as if I always drink that.
Obviously.
He was like, are you 87? Like, did you turn into an old Italian lady? And I was like, I don't know. That sounds pretty great. Like, I would love to be an old Italian lady.
Heck yeah.
And they have a lot to teach us because this drink is delicious. If you like bitter, you know, notes.
Yeah, which I do actually. So I'll join you. I'll convert to a 87, very specific age, by the way. Italian woman. I'd love to be one, especially if she lives in Italy.
Exactly. It sounds like a great life.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so sugar. Okay. I'm very musical today, and it's a problem because this will be recorded.
It is being recorded.
Okay, but before we go into ways to manage sugar cravings or just sugar cravings in general, I think we should tell everyone the story about the term salad eater in the context of, I think a lot of people have the assumption that registered dietitians like only eat steamed broccoli, quinoa, and bland baked chicken and like will not, you know, and if they're going to have a sweet, it's always going to be like a tiny little portion of dark chocolate.
Which, to be fair, is what I have next to me at the moment. Not lying, but you and I both eat a ton of other options. Wait,
do you have quinoa and baked chicken and broccoli and a little bit of dark chocolate?
I already ate that, but
oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I have no quinoa. I do have broccoli in my fridge, but no. So yeah, the salad eater story. Kat and I work together at a hospital. And when I first started and I was interviewing, we had a great manager. She was super funny. Like, we joked around all the time. We had a great time there. And she told me, like, I don't know, maybe a few months or a few weeks, like after I started, that she thought I was a salad eater. And so we got to explain this well enough so other people understand, right? So like, as Kat alluded to, there's this notion of like what dietitians eat. And so I do fit, you know, a stereotypical, if you look at me, right, I'm kind of your stereotypical dietitian. Like, I do reside in a small body. I am white. I am blonde. Like, a lot of our field, you know, matches that description. And I think our manager picked up on the fact that I'm like pretty perfectionistic. And so she thought that I would only eat salads, right? Like, I fit this stereotype completely of a dietitian, which we all know I'm more of an onion, right? I have a lot of layers. I don't just eat salads, but it kind of became this like running joke that salad eater is like a dietitian, you know, like not a fun one, right? Like, we were all fun there and
we were the really cool ones,
but there's this like notion of people, dietitians who maybe are a little, I don't know, just like more, I lost it. Like, how do I explain the rest?
Yeah. Well, no, I think, okay. So I think that because our field is about nutrition and about eating more nutrient dense things, there is a tendency of understanding that we're all this very strict person that like leads a very strict eating, like food rules kind of life, where they like will never dream of eating a slice of pizza because all the processed foods. We are the variety that you might call badass bitches. No, I'm just kidding. we love all foods, and so
all foods fit, god damn it. Yeah.
Including salads, right? But like, you're not gonna just eat salads for the rest of your life. I mean, can you imagine like be getting married and like it's time to cut the cake and you're like a registered dietitian, I'm like, I'm salad. Sorry. Dressing on the side. Anyway, so at this hospital, we were very cautious of salad eaters because they would just take the fun out of all the birthdays
fun and celebrations.
Yeah. And we're not that. So lucky you.
There's no time for that. There's way too many delicious foods in the world, and we all deserve to enjoy them.
Yep. So with that being said and clarified, which, you know, was imperative for this episode, sugar, we like sugar. We crave sweets. I think the first time that we hung out with our significant others, with our people, I remember that we went to a restaurant, we ate really good food. And then at the end, somebody said, are we going to get dessert? And Kelly and I made the exact same face. Like, we perked up. It's just like, you stand up tall. Your eyes just like become shiny.
Get bigger.
Expectant with joy. And there's this sort of quizzical look of like, are we really going to do this right now? And it's a happy expression, very childlike. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that we did the exact same thing, actually, I think it was Jeff who said, you guys made the exact same face. I was like, we are destined to be best friends. We're destined. So anyway, all that to say, we love sweet treats and sure. And I think there are times in life that engaging, giving in a little it's awesome. There are times in lives where you might just feel like you overdid it, you know, especially around the holidays, which are coming up. And so we wanted to talk about that because all foods fit and it's all about balance. And it's all about that feedback of what your body's telling you, how you feel and how you want to feel. Right.
Right. And that can look different, obviously for different people, but also for the same person, you know, in different times of life, different chapters.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So we also want to normalize sugar cravings. Like, it's normal to want to experience pleasure and joy from food, you know, whatever that food is. And I think as we've talked about diet culture on previous episodes, there's that feeling like, oh, I can only have dessert, you know, once a week, twice a week, once a month, or I never have dessert. I never have processed sugar. And if that works for you, that's great. Like, not shaming that at all. But for other people at certain times in life, they might need more flexibility. And sometimes that might look like a straight up slice of cake. And other times it might look like some of the other ideas we're going to talk about today. Some stuff that you and I enjoy frequently and that has worked for a lot of our clients and helping them feel satisfied, like being able to have something sweet and then feeling okay internally about it, like not having the shame and the guilt. And so all, you know, they're options, right? And we can choose what is going to suit best for us at a given time.
Totally. Totally. I think to normalize and to say like, we all have sugar cravings. I mentioned this previously in another episode where somebody was asking me like, do you eat pizza? Or like, when was the last time you had French fries? And this conversation is just to shed light into like, people in the nutrition field do engage in sugar cravings, like do have them, do enjoy sugary treats, and it is wonderful. And we want to give you tools to kind of walk you through what it looks like to have sugary foods in your life in a way that feels wonderful, like that they bring you joy. And when you need a little bit more maybe discipline, or you're not feeling great because you've engaged in too much of that, like how to maybe have a more balanced approach to your sugary cravings, which are normal and no one should feel shame about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's go through some of the ideas, right? Some of the things that you and I really enjoy.
Yeah. And
our clients too.
So I think I'll start with if you've been somebody who is just diving into a little bit more intuitive eating or mindful eating or finding your way out of a diet culture or diet-centered approach to nutrition, and let's say you haven't had a slice of whatever it is that you've been craving, a donut, a slice of cake, chocolate, a brownie, whatever. If you find yourself really sort of restricting that and trying to get that thought out of your mind, like, no, I shouldn't, that's not going to be good, I do not need to do that. And I would encourage you as you're finding a little bit more freedom in the world of food and possibilities of eating and listening to your body, I would actually encourage you to give in. Like, buy that donut. Now, what we would recommend once you do have that donut in front of you is take a moment to appreciate what you have in front of you. You have a food that you've been craving for a while. You've been daydreaming. I swear, I have daydreamed of anything chocolate before in my life, like just like daydreamed about it. It happens. So if that's you and that you found yourself daydreaming about it and now you have it in front of you, before it takes 2 seconds to get into your mouth and then down to your stomach, take a second to appreciate what you have in front of you. You know, turn off the TV, get your phone out of the way, and just enjoy this treat. Enjoy it with all of your senses. Smell it, the crunch or the softness or whatever is happening in your mouth. Like, take a moment to enjoy it. This is a wonderful moment because this food has been prohibited from your diet, and now you are finding a better relationship with these kinds of foods. And so, gosh, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, you know, that can be a really scary place to be for some people, because if they're coming from decades, which I don't want to sidetrack our episode, but just throwing this out there real quick, if people are coming from years or decades of dieting, the thought of just letting it all loose, right? Eating, giving into that craving and having the donut, that can be really scary, and it can feel like you're going to derail yourself, like you're never going to stop eating donuts. Like, those feelings are so real. And that's something we talk about like all the time with our clients. And so if you're feeling that way, like, it's okay. Like, that is okay. That is valid. And we want to validate that. And, you know, that's a point where it really does truly help to work with someone who has experience in intuitive eating and, you know, health at every size and just that arena of nutrition. And whether that's us or not, like, we do not, no hard feelings. We just want people to feel empowered and to feel, you know, feel like they can do that for themselves.
Totally. I think if we've talked about this book, that's just changed the way we think about a lot of things, which is the Intuitive Eating book. In that book, there's a chapter of kind of navigating this first initial step. So if you want more information, that's awesome. But they do recommend, you know, picking two, if you have like a massive list of food items that are, you know, are in the no food list for a long time or have been in your life, and you've not been allowed to engage in those, in eating those foods, and now you're finally finding a way out of that culture, that lifestyle, those food rules, they recommend that you pick like two items. So if you have a big list, pick two food items and then just go to the grocery store, go wherever it is that you can find them, purchase them, sit down, enjoy them until you're satisfied. And this exercise sort of helps bring these foods out of the no food list and into a more normal relationship, more of an adult relationship with these foods. You know, we treat children sometimes with the, no, don't do that. No, that's not allowed for you. And with foods, we have this similar approach, but with adults, and it's bizarre and weird, and it takes away our intuition, our ability to enjoy things, the spur of the moment or big moments in life. And so pick those two things. If you have a big list of cravings for sugary things, enjoy them, give in, and have that movement to recognize that your body's like finally gotten that like sugar kick that you've really been wanting. And let's celebrate that, because finally that food is no longer a prohibited food in your life. So fantastic.
Right. That exercise is working to make foods feel more neutral instead of having this like really emotionally charged atmosphere around a food. We are trying to neutralize the food a little bit. And that's how, you know, over time, and mostly, you know, with guidance of a health professional, but that's how we help people find peace with food. And that can take a really long time, you know, because a lot of people might have a long list of foods that are prohibited because they've been dieting for, you know, decades. So it's a process.
Sure.
Yeah. But complemented, you know, along with that, there are other ways to indulge in sweet cravings. So of course you can do what we're speaking to, like this exercise of really taking a food that has been prohibited for you and, you know, practice enjoying it, everything that Kat just outlined. And then there are other ideas. So we wanted to go through some of those today.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Sure. I'll start with one that I've really been loving for a long time, like probably 6 months or so. It's very simple, but I take like a whole date, like with the pitten, because they're easier to find. I know they sell pitted, but they're usually more expensive and harder to find. So I buy the dates with the pits and I cut it open in half and then I take out the pit. And then it's like you have these little boats, like these little date boats. They're just asking to be filled with something delicious. So I put a little peanut butter in them.
Mm.
And then my dog Nala goes crazy. She just heard me say peanut butter. She perked up. You put peanut butter in it, like a little boat, and then you just savor the hell out of it. And it is so, so good.
Yum. I put chocolate, like peanut butter and chocolate, because to me,
a little step up.
Yeah. Because to me, like, when I think of sugar cravings, I am 99.99% likely to choose a chocolate source. Like, get your lemon cake shit out of my face. Like, I want something.
Didn't you come up with a lemon cake recipe?
But honestly, I hadn't really enjoyed anything lemony until mm-hmm. that recipe, to be honest. Yeah, I like chocolate. One of the things I do, okay, so there's a big debate right now in the dietitian social media world where, you know, we're always told that dark chocolate has more antioxidants and it can be healthier than milk chocolate. But there's a debate right now with different RDs from different places saying which is better, milk or dark chocolate. And I've grown accustomed. I didn't realize this was kind of a weird or hidden food rule for me, but I always bought dark chocolate just because mm-hmm. I really enjoy dark chocolate. But I had milk chocolate for the first time in a long time. And you know, I still prefer, like, taste buds, I prefer the darker chocolate, but the milk chocolate with like a nuttiness was so good. So mm-hmm. a snack that I have sometimes with, like, especially after a fast lunch that I'm like on the go, but I'm craving something sweet, is I'll have a piece of chocolate and I'll have almonds, like loose almonds, and then dried cherries.
Mm,
and it just
sounds really good.
I put them on my mouth together at the same time. So they have a party mm-hmm. in there while I chew it. And I just, you know, I'm the DJ and just like, woo, I'm having a great time at the end of lunch. It's fantastic. It's just a little sweet treat situation mm-hmm. on the go.
That's interesting. You know, what you said about, like, it gets at the food rule versus food preference distinction.
Yeah.
And I also prefer dark chocolate, I would say, but there are certain combinations that I like with milk chocolate. Like, milk chocolate and caramel to me tastes better than dark chocolate caramel.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like that's mm-hmm. combined.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends, but that's one of those sneaky things. You know, you mm-hmm. really have to, like, dig deep and be like, do I actually like this better, or have I been told this so many times that now I've just internalized it, that this is better for me?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And you know, you're working with clients and I'm working with clients too. And we're talking about all these things. And I don't know if this happens to you, but every once in a while I'll say something. I'm like, is this something I actually do? Do I practice this? So that was a fun experiment for me. I actually prefer dark chocolate, but you know what? Milk chocolate's, that's good. I'm all for some milk chocolate. Something else that I think about sometimes when my clients are telling me, like, I've been eating a lot of sugar. I crave it, but I don't feel good after eating it. But I don't know how to stop because I really want something sugary. I've been on a sugar kick for a while. I want to feel better. I don't want to feel sluggish after eating a lot of sugar. One of the things we talk about is incorporating something that has fiber in it, in your sugary treat, because this helps with the blunt of the sugar impact in your bloodstream. So this could be like if you're like the sweet treats that contain like apple or peaches or blueberries or something like that, that can help decrease that sort of heaviness that the sugar causes after eating it, sort of like foggy brain and low energy. Adding a little fiber to that, and careful not to just be like, oh, this is the only treat I'm allowed to have, but I'm talking about those times where you're just trying to decrease the amount of sugar. Also, fruit is naturally high in sugar, so having a little bit of that with whatever else you want to pair it with, whether it's caramel or it's a pie or whatever's happening, that can help. It contains fiber, so it can help a little bit to decrease the impact, the fast impact that sugar can have on your bloodstream.
Yeah, like really slow that absorption a little bit, and you know, help us feel fuller, more satisfied. Definitely. Speaking of fruit, something we tried recently, I think Jeff heard it on like a sports podcast. Sometimes they have these fantastic like recipe ideas and he'll come to me and be like, can we make this? And it's always amazing. So I usually say yes, but he heard on there to take a banana and cut it like lengthwise. You know what I mean? Like hot dog style, so that you open it and then you keep it in the peel. And then on the banana, you sprinkle like, we put cinnamon, a little sugar, a little bit of sea salt. I think that was it. And then we put it face down. So like banana
peel,
the flesh. Yeah. The peel is up. The flesh is on the grill. And we grilled it for a few minutes, like not super long. Yeah. And then you could, you know, have ice cream with it, like that with vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream. I know you're a big chocolate girl. Either way, it's so good. Or you could do it with, like, I've had it with yogurt as well, like putting it over yogurt if I'm not in the mood for ice cream. I haven't tried this, but I feel like with whipped cream, obviously it would be delicious. But that, like the flavor combination, it's magical.
So good. There you have it. And then you get the fiber with it because it's in bananas. One important point to make here is that as you're kind of trying to move away from these foods are not allowed for me, I can't have them. And then, which this happens a lot, it's a cycle of like, I cannot eat these. I won't eat them. I'm going to be really good. I don't know why we're always just like, this is good behavior. This is bad behavior when eating. It's just not helpful for literally anybody, but I'm going to be really good. I'm not going to eat these things. And then, you know, at the end of the week or whenever, after all day of thinking about it and not engaging, now I'm like having a moment where I'm just like, I'm going to eat whatever has sugar in it and I'm going to put it in my mouth. And then you engage in that, then you realize I really just wanted a muffin. And here I am and I have, I don't know, a brownie and I just put it in my mouth and it tastes good, but like, this isn't what I was craving. This isn't what I was actually want. I want, you know, a pie or what other sweets have we not mentioned?
Cupcakes. Cookies.
Cookies. We haven't said cookies. I really wanted cookies. And here I am, just the brownie was here and I just ate the brownie. And like, it is sugar, but like, it didn't satisfy that craving. That can happen a lot because you're restricting so much. And so you think that sugar is just sugar and like your body's just craving sugar or whatever. Sometimes it's really about preference and it's about, you know, having that one food that you really crave. So this could be a fun time to explore what kind of sugary treats you actually enjoy. And then once you give yourself permission to enjoy those, it feels less hard to say no to the sugary treats that are offered to you, but are not really your preference because you haven't been waiting for the moment to have sugar. Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, for sure.
It like, if you're like, for me, I don't like lemony things. Like I don't like a lemon pie. Is that a thing? Or lemon tart? Mm-hmm. I love lemon. This is what's crazy. I love lemon so much. My house will always have lemons because that is how I do the dressing for my salads. So lemons are a vital part of my grocery list and shopping. And whenever I run out of lemons, it's a bad day for everyone that's living with me. And but when it comes to sugary things, I don't like citrus stuff. And so when I give myself permission to engage in the foods that I love to eat, I also give myself permission to not engage in the foods that I don't like to eat. And so when somebody offers me a piece of lemon tart cake, whatever, I can say no thanks, because I feel perfectly okay with having something I like later on, or not having that for that day and moving on with my life, because I don't have overwhelming boundaries or like no food list in my life.
Right. Which speaks to the power of our body's intuition. Like we do know what we want. It's just that for many people, it's hard to get to that point because their relationship with food and body and, you know, their thoughts, their emotions, their mind is all tangled up, like based on experiences that they've had with dieting or with how people are treating them in the body that they're in. But when we can get to that space, like it is so powerful. It's such a good place to be because you feel good. Like you're allowing yourself to have things that you know you're going to enjoy, and you enjoy it to the fullest, and then you move on with your life. Like there's no drama around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true. I think closing maybe this episode, something else that might happen in the journey of sugary treats and cravings, you might find yourself that, let's say, okay, Kat, I was having a lot of sugar. Now I'm trying to add a little fiber. But I, at the end of the day, still want to eat it, even though I'm full and I will feel sick if I eat it and I don't want to, but if it's right there, I'm going to do it. I just know I'm going to do it. And so like, what do I do now? Because I want to have food freedom, but I crave sugar and I'm going to just shove that donut in my mouth and I'm going to feel really bad. I feel like I've been talking a lot about putting shit in your mouth.
Yeah, I've said it a few times.
Anyway, that's how we eat though. You know, we put things in our mouths.
Through the mouth.
It sounds weirdly sexual. Anyway, the act of eating. Anyway, that you can find yourself in that situation where you're trying to sort of practice this freedom, in eating fun things and it is scary. And now you're like, I can't help it. It's in my sort of reaction to all these food rules to just, if it's in front of me, I'm going to eat the whole thing. Something I talk with my clients sometimes is trying to create a little space, like physical space from the food. It takes some time for your brain to understand that you are full and you're fully satisfied and you're okay. So creating some physical space between the sweet treat and yourself is important because it prevents you from having that sort of reaction to going grabbing it and just eating it really fast. So creating some space. Another tool that sometimes is important, you know, maybe having a drink that can sort of cleanse your palate, like a tea or some water or whatever, just to kind of give your body a little bit of a break, to a signaling like, we are done eating this. We're going to wait now, you know. And if you feel satisfied, you feel content, but you're afraid you might want to just go over there and reach it, sometimes something with mint can create a sense of cleanliness, of it being done. You're done enjoying your food and now you're going to move on with your day. So mint gum or tea can be a good signaling to yourself to kind of get a sense that you're kind of, you loved what you've eaten, you've enjoyed it, but you're done.
Mm-hmm. Not a big tea person, but I do love mint tea. It's probably the only tea I drink. And it's so soothing. Like at the end of the day, if you're like winding down, you know, maybe you already enjoyed a sweet treat. Maybe you just enjoyed dinner. You're just trying to relax. It's quite delicious. So we've talked about a few different things, a lot of strategies. Hopefully one or more of these resonated with you today.
Yeah. Okay. So we're coming at the end of the episode. We have talked about sort of enjoying the foods you're craving and giving yourself permission. We've talked about adding a little fiber if you're wanting to kind of help with some symptoms of like, maybe you're enjoying too much and you're wanting to like have a little bit more of a health component to it. We've talked about some ways to create some space with your sweet treats so you're not impulsively eating them. Also learning what you actually like as far as the sweet treats and not just going for any sweet treat, being a sweet treat slut, you know? And now
I'm going to use that.
So now we're going to give you some, which we kind of did a little bit in the beginning as well, but we want to give you some ideas for sweet treats,
some alternatives.
Yeah. Some ideas to spice up your life.
Everybody in the world. Okay, so we touched on a few. What ones did we already review?
I think we reviewed the tip of the grilled bananas with all those wonderful toppings. We talked about dates filled with peanut butter, and in my addition, my version, you add some chocolate or some coconut.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, coconut. Oh, my God.
So good.
I love coconut.
Me too. And we talked about dark chocolate or milk chocolate with some almonds and some dried cherries all in your mouth, just dancing around, making beautiful thing. Yeah, it has to be at the same time. It can't be consumed separately or else you won't get any of the fun.
You need the full effect.
Exactly.
Yeah, lots of good ideas. Uh-huh. I would add to that. Some people love, like, it's really satisfying to freeze grapes and then eat like the frozen grapes. That's really good, especially in the summer if it's really hot. If it's in the winter, or if you just don't care about the seasons, hot chocolate can be a good option. That can be really satisfying. Something warm, you know, at the end of the day can be a good way to unwind. Some other of my favorites, blending. I always have frozen bananas, like throw the whole brown banana in the freezer, take it out, pop it in the microwave for like 10 seconds, cut off the peel. This sounds complicated as I'm saying it out loud, but it's really not. Put in the blender with whatever kind of nut butter you like. Sometimes it takes a little bit of milk or like liquid, and then you whip it up in the blender and it's like a froyo consistency. It's really good. You've done that, right?
I think I have, but like not in like years.
Oh my gosh. It's so good. I have it quite often. Or similarly, you could take any kind of frozen fruit, frozen mango or frozen berries, like a berry medley, and put that in a blender with coconut milk. And you'll get the same kind of consistency as I talked about with the frozen banana and peanut butter. It's so good.
Yum. For some reason, I'm just such a child. I'm just kind of bored. I know, other than things with chocolate, although I have tried a lot of the ideas you said, and they're so good. But we do encourage you to experiment with the things you like. Try any of these ideas if they sound good to you. We also have some recipes for some sweet things that you could try that are also a little bit more nutrient dense compared to similar items. So this whole podcast, the whole point of this is to normalize the fact that sugar cravings are something that occurred to all of us and they're completely normal. No one should feel bad about it. That engaging in eating things that are fun and that are sugary is not inherently bad, and that it is completely acceptable to engage in those foods and enjoy them.
It's also okay if you're trying to manage your sugar cravings and you can do any of the ideas that we kind of outlined before. If you're looking for inspo, you know, try some of Kelly's ideas.
And enjoy. Tell us how you like them.
Exactly. That, yes, please. And if you have like other tips of like, oh, yeah, ideas that you do, we would love to hear that.
More ideas. Anyway,
we are, what did I say? Sugary sweet treats.
Sluts.
Sweet, you heard it here first. I doubt anyone else has said that before.
Oh my God. Yes, we are definitely sweet treat sluts. So send us your ideas. All right. We will see you guys next week for another amazing episode of our quirky podcast.